नमस्कार आणि स्वागत करता हाँ रिची तुमका आयच्या सुशेगात तनपार कोंकणी प्रोग्रामा वयर. फिशिंग मासली दर्चे ये मस्तू जनांक बारी एक पॅशन, पण ये का लें फिशिंग? ये फिशिंग क लें प्रोफेशन गी, हॉबी गी, रिक्रिएशनल गी? ये आमका आज सांगूंक आयला कॉलिन शेपर्ड आणि ताच्या संगात आसात जॉसलिन फर्डी आणि Godfrey, आमच्या कम्युनिटीतले. वेलकम टू अवर प्रोग्राम कॉलिन.
थँक यू व्हेरी मच रिचर्ड, थँक यू फॉर द इन्व्हाइट. आय लुक फॉरवर्ड टू टॉकिंग अबाउट फिशिंग.
अँड वेलकम गॉडफ्री, जॉसलिन अँड फर्डी.
थँक
यू. ओके, सो कॉलिन, व्हॉट इज दिस? एज आय सेड, इज दिस अ हॉबी ओर इज दिस अ प्रोफेशन? इज दिस रिक्रिएशन, अ वे ऑफ किलिंग टाइम, ओर इज इट अ वे ऑफ गेटिंग अवे फ्रॉम युअर वाइफ?
Richard, it could be all of those. A hobby and a recreation, I think, are very similar. It's something that you do apart from your normal day-to-day working life, for instance. So something that takes you away from that. Could it be a profession? Yes, there are professional fishermen, although I personally am not. So it can be all of those, and it is what you make of it, I think.
Well, that's good.
It is good. I don't see it as a way of getting away from the wife or the partner, but it is infinitely better than mowing the lawns or painting the house.
Yeah. After all the fishing, you have to come home to the wife.
Yeah.
Okay, Colin, when did you get introduced to fishing?
A long time ago. My dad has always been very keen on fishing. He built his first boat himself, and every school holidays, the family would go away to a beach, and basically we just go fishing all day, every day. So when I was 5 or 6, probably, long time ago.
Okay, so pretty much the school holidays were then spent fishing, is it?
Yes, summer school holidays, and the water, on the water all day, every day. Yeah, loved it.
Okay, cool.
But Colin, what do you think about the seasons? Because they say this is fishing season, and if you go, I was just wondering what happens to the fish during the other seasons.
Okay, if you're talking saltwater fishing, like out in the Waitemata Harbour here,
yeah,
there are two distinct seasons, a winter and a summer, if you like. A lot of people think that the fish go away in winter. They don't go away, they're just harder to catch. The fish are always there. They may move from very shallow water to deeper water, but the fish are still there. So you have to go fishing in different places at different times of the year. As we're moving into summer now, the fish start moving into the shallower water. So they're more accessible for the people fishing off the rocks, smaller boats, because you don't need to go so far. And as the water temperature warms up above 18 degrees, there's more activity, more fish. So birds start eating the fish that come to the surface.
Okay.
It's much more visible. It's easier to tell where the fish are. So different seasons, but the fish are there all year round.
Okay.
You fish
so
in different
there
places.
There is a possibility of catching fish even in the other season when...
Yes.
So you just have to go a bit deeper or into different areas.
Exactly right. To different areas, and in wintertime possibly a bit deeper.
Okay.
The trouble with winter fishing is you get very bad weather, wind, so you've got to be a lot more safety conscious.
Okay.
All right.
Colin, I have a question for you. You've been so many years in this fishing, it's like, you know, like we, some have a hobby of driving, some have, like you have fishing, I'm sure you'll be able to guide us with so many years, what type and how and where do we do these things?
Yes, you do build up a knowledge. If you're talking freshwater fishing, which I do a lot of for trout and rivers, you definitely need to learn the rivers because the rivers are constantly changing. Every year the rivers change. The banks get eroded, trees fall in. That affects where the fish are going to hold. Out in the sea, the structure of the sea doesn't change as much, right? The bottom, if it's sandy, is always sandy. If it's rocky, it's always rocky. So the fish will tend to be in the same places year after year after year. But as I said before, they do move. Now, beginning of this year, as an example, there was lots of snapper in the inner harbour right by the Devonport Navy base.
Okay.
Now, I used to drift right past all the Navy boats. I'd be so close it was illegal, and the police would come and chase me away. But I got lots of fish.
Okay.
Right? But then all of a sudden, bang, they just disappear. Where they go to, you don't know, so okay. You've got to go and find them. But they moved out of the inner harbour and went out into the Gulf somewhere.
Okay.
So when you find them, you take advantage of that because you don't know when it's going to end.
Do they migrate?
Yes, they move. Yes, they move.
More cooler places or the warm places?
They might go to warmer places with easier food.
Yeah.
So yes, they will move. Like trout up a river, they will move. They won't stay in the same place week after week. As the temperature rises or falls, the amount of oxygen in the water, the fish will move. If it gets too hot, they'll either go way upstream, looking for shaded where the water's cooler, or they drop back into a lake, to a bigger body of water where it's cooler. Same out in the Hauraki Gulf, Waitemata Harbour. Fish inshore, if there's a lot of rain, runoff, freshwater runoff, the fish will move away. They will come back when the rain stops and all the fresh water goes into the harbour.
Okay. Just one more question, Colin. Do you think that 20 years ago it was more easier to catch fish than today?
Yes. In the harbour for snapper and fishing? Yes, yeah. I think it is. There were more fish 20 years ago than there are now.
Ah, okay.
Is it a lot easier now than what it was before?
No, it was easier to catch fish 20 years ago because there was more fish.
Okay.
Catching them is about the same difficulty, but there was a lot more of them 20 years ago.
Yeah. Given the fact that now there are so many of the equipments and gears that you get, so I would assume that there would be much more potential of, you know, hooking up more fish.
Yes, and the gear we use now is much better. The technology, or a lot of the rods have... nanotechnology, very, very high graphite content, so the rods are very, very light, but very, very strong. 20 years ago, you had big fiberglass rods that were about that thick. They weren't very forgiving. Now you hook a fish, 90% of the time you should land it. The quality of the hooks we have now is much better than it was 20 years ago.
So, Colin... there are different forms of fishing. Some use nets, some use rods, some rods and tackle. There's deep sea fishing, there's trawler fishing. What's popular in New Zealand? What good following? And where do you start off on this?
Yes, okay. The most popular type of fishing, I think, in New Zealand for general public would be called just inshore fishing within like 10 kilometres of the coast. Easy access. You don't need a big, expensive boat. Any little runabout will do. You need a reliable motor, and it's relatively cheap. An outboard motor is only a couple of dollars an hour to run. So inshore fishing within 10 kilometres of the coast. We've got one of the longest coastlines in the world. Anyone can go fishing any time. You don't need a licence. You just need to be a bit sensible about safety and weather.
Okay, on that note, Colin, we will listen to a song called Nustekar. Nustekar means fisherman or fisherwoman selling fish in certain parts of the Konkan region where we all come from.
Okay.
So let's listen to Nustekar.
Nos te rompes con tal.
Welcome back to Sushika Dhanpar. You're listening to Colin, Jocelyn, Ferdy, and Godfrey, and learning all about fishing. So, Colin, they say that fishing is a hobby where there is a fool at one end and the fool at the other end also.
Waiting for a tug on the line, that's yeah. Right. You need, fishing's interesting, you need patience. You've got to try, I think you've got to try and think like a fish. If I was a fish, where would I be today? With the current running in, or the tide about to turn, with an overcast sky or bright sunny weather. So you do need patience, and it takes time to work out where the fish are and what they're going to eat. So you try different sizes, colours, shapes, whatever, until you work out, okay, today they want big and green. And then you're away. But it may take an hour, 2 hours, but you don't know. There may be no fish there. You know what I mean? You could be fishing in a place where there's no fish.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
But then you move, and you say, well, if I move now, what happens if the fish come back? Do I go over there? There might be no fish over there. So you need to think like a fish. You think, well, the tide has turned. It's washing the food off the rock. So if I was a fish, I would be around this side. No, not on this side.
Mm.
So you move your boat around here, drop down. Oh, yes, there they are. Found them.
Does it really matter what kind of a bait you're going to use, whether it's artificial or a live bait?
Does it matter? No. It's a lot of personal preference. For instance, myself, I use what are called metal jigs. I haven't used bait for years, probably 10 years. And I catch more fish than anyone else. But it's just what I prefer. Metal jigs, they're heavy. They get straight to the bottom very, very quickly. They don't attract sharks and other things you don't want to catch because there's not a smell, there's not rotten food. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so personal preference. You can catch fish using any style, but my personal preference is clean, quick, and I target what I want.
And what about the color of the bait?
The color is tricky because you don't know what the fish are going to eat today, but there are some standard patterns. For instance, early morning, just before the sun's up, I tend to use what we call natural patterns, blues and greys. They're like what the fish would be in the harbour at the top. Little anchovies, the blue and grey.
Yeah.
So I use colours like that because that's what they're feeding on in the morning. I wouldn't use something that's big and bright red at sunrise because there's nothing big and bright red at sunrise. You know, they're not eating things that are big. So you've got to try and think like a fish. What's in the harbour? What are they eating? And match your colour to that.
So is it the time of the day that matters when you're actually putting the bait? Is it?
You can catch fish 24 hours a day,
but
the prime times are sunrise and sunset and in the middle of the tides. So not at high tide, not at low tide, but when the tide is moving between tides. Because fish want current, because current moves food off rocks, off seaweed. It creates an activity, so they start eating then. So if you can be on the water 4 or 5 in the morning, pitch black, it's summertime, it's still warm, and you're waiting for the sun to come up, bam, 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 bam. You're home, 8:30, 9 o'clock, plenty of fish, mm-hmm. and you get back to the boat ramp, and all the family people are arriving at the boat ramp. Mum and dad and the kids, because they didn't get up at 3:30. But you've done your day's work.
Yes.
I'm out of there.
Yeah.
So you've got to think like a fish. Colour is important. Mm-hmm. If they want green today, you've got to give them green.
Okay.
But you don't know until you start, and every day is different.
Correct.
So experiment, and then find out what's working.
So even they have their moods, huh?
I think they do have it, yes. Now, sometimes they do go have moods. They'll just go completely quiet for an hour, 2 hours, and you don't know why. Yeah. Everyone's catching fish, and it's gone. Whether a school of sharks has come through, you don't know.
Talking of 24 hours fishing, you were saying, what about nighttime? What kind of a bait or hook do you use?
Okay, if
when
you're
it's
talking,
so dark.
Yeah, it's a bit different. If you're talking freshwater fishing, right, yes. upper river and freshwater, at night time you use black flies. It's the opposite to what you think, because you're thinking like a fish, the bottom of the river, night time, 10 o'clock at night, there's still light of the moon. If you use a big black fly, it creates a silhouette. The fish will move off the bottom to see what that is. Grab it up here.
Okay.
All right. So that's the opposite. You think, oh, I'd use something really white and red or green or something. But you use black flies at night. And so, and the seawater doesn't matter so much. Fish have, you know, snapper have big eyes.
Yeah.
So they've got really good vision. They want movement. And some of my jigs you'll see there are shaped like a triangle. So when they sink, they create a fluttering action. They create a movement. Fish want movement.
Okay. So how does one get into this hobby? Is it you have to have certain key essentials? Is it do you need to know swimming or understand the weather, water, fish?
Yes. You need to be safe. So, yes, if you can swim, you certainly need a life jacket on, and that you should be wearing them all the time, not putting them under the seat of the boat because it's too late. You do need to know about the weather. Auckland, a very small, narrow isthmus with two oceans either side, separated only by a few kilometres, so we get lots of wind at sea. It can change really quickly. You need good information on your boat or before you go about forecast wind. You need to know your tides, because your wind against the tide creates a steep wave, a rough conditions. A wind with the tide flattens the sea out. So if you can work that so it's on your way home, you don't get a bumpy ride, it's much safer. So yes, you do need information. It's all freely available, websites, mm-hmm. weather, tides, common sense, safety.
But common sense also, is it?
You need common sense.
No, I thought it was available on the website.
Yes. Oh, no. Common sense is actually quite rare.
Colin, I was just wondering, what about the smell that comes from the bait that they normally sell at, you know, various places?
Yes.
Is it really important? Does it attract fish? And, like, how? What's the distance from which it can get the fish coming in?
Okay. If you're a bait fisherman, a lot of people have what's called a burley bag, which is like rotten fish, if you like,
yeah.
compressed, and you drop it over to the other side of the boat, and it slowly dissipates through the water column. Fish can smell that many, many hundreds of metres away, and they will start coming around, but this is where you attract sharks as well.
Yeah.
What's that smell? And then fish will come into there and hopefully take your piece of bait.
Okay.
All right? So, yes, it is very effective. It's a bit messy. It is very smelly. And you do catch unwanted species, if you like, because it will bring round sharks.
Sharks and things
stuff.
Like that, yeah, okay.
But that, it's a personal preference thing. As I say, I personally don't use bait.
Okay.
But it's perfectly acceptable to do that. Yeah.
So, Colin, it is in the stillness of time, it is in the stillness of water that you go in and catch. Very philosophical way of putting it, you know, that in the stillness of time, many things get done.
Yes, that's yeah. And it clears the mind.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, you're so busy concentrating. Imagine I'm up a river somewhere and I can see a trout 20 metres ahead of me in gin clear water. He's got a cone of vision, which if I go past about his ears, if you like, his gill plate, he will see me and he will move away. So I've got to work out how to get one of my flies in front of him, deep enough and along the bit of river where he's sitting without him getting scared. So you can't think about, I forgot to put the rubbish bin out last night, or I need some petrol for the lawnmower, or I've got to pick up the kids after school, because you haven't got time for that, because you may only get one chance. So you've got to be really focused on that. And what happens at the end of the day, you've completely forgotten about anything at home, bank accounts, accountants, all gone.
So it's a way of training yourself to be still, focused, and concentrated. So it's a sort of a hobby or art that you develop even in your personal life. Do you apply that in your own personal life?
I try to. I say you concentrate when you need to and relax when you don't need to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to be able to turn on and off. Sometimes when you're out in a boat, for instance, if there's nothing happening, just relax. Look around. Beautiful, clean water, the sky. You got your friends there. Just muck around. Just enjoy it. But when the fishing's on, you've got to really concentrate.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it when it's there.
Yeah, but Colin, are there certain species of fish that move away when they see a boat coming or people around or something like that? Or is it more or less the same among most species?
Fish don't really get that scared. As I said before, beginning of the summer, there was lots of fish in the harbour right by the Devonport Wharf, the Navy base. Now, you imagine all the ferries.
Yeah.
Go, a tremendous amount of noise, and it's quite shallow. The fish don't get scared.
Mm.
So it's not really a problem. If the fish are there, they're there. If they're not, go somewhere else and find them.
On that learning of being focused, concentrated, and being there in that moment, we'll listen to this wonderful song called Tu Sopnantyatai, You Come in My Dreams.
Fishy, huh?
Yeah.
Sopna te tae, tumona te al tae, esa chena za tae, moga tu kaya se jai. Sopna te tae, tumona te al tae, esa chena za tae. Tu
You're listening to Sushika Tanpar, and we are in conversation with Colin Shepherd, Ferdy, Godfrey, and Jocelyn, trying to learn how to fish. Those who would like to ask a question or who have any aspects of fishing to be known, then please call us up on 815-8100, or you could text me on 021-0291-2723. I repeat, you can call us on 815-8100, or you could text me on 021-0291-2723. So, Colin, coming to you, what are the basic, where do we start? As Ferdy mentioned, where do I start? I'm a rookie. I don't know anything about fishing. So, where is the first point that I start from?
Okay, most people start with a parent, a brother, a family member, if you like, who's been fishing before. It might be an uncle or something like that. If that's not available to you, there are certain specialist fishing shops. The one I use, for instance, is a place called Rod and Reel, and they're based in Newmarket here in Auckland, and they do freshwater fishing and saltwater fishing. They've got everything from beginners through to very experienced professional. They can cater for all that. They can show you how to do knots, how to set you up with a rod, reel, or some flies for fresh water. They got clothing. They got everything you need to know about fishing. The people who work in the store are very, very experienced people. So what I'm saying is there are plenty of specialist fishing shops if you haven't got a family member or a friend to get you out there and get you started. The best way to start is actually borrow someone else's gear. It's cheap.
Yeah.
Get a rod from your brother or your uncle or somebody.
Yeah.
Colin, I have a question. A few minutes back, we were speaking of fishing like in still water, and then I just wanted to know, what about flowing water in the river?
Yes.
How do we go about doing that? Do we have to stand in certain direction?
Yes, well, fish in a river, trout, always face upstream, so because that's where their food comes from. So generally, you need to approach fish from behind them. So generally, you're in the river. You've seen people wearing waders.
Yes.
Keeps you warm and dry. And then you've got to work out how to get your fly in front of the fish without scaring. They will pick up your vibrations of your feet or the bow wave that you create when you walk upstream. So you need a bit of stealth. It also depends, trout, the temperature of the water, the amount of oxygen in the water, and the speed of the water. If there's been recent rain in the headwaters, and the river's up and running quite quickly, the trout will be in different places. They'll be tucked up under a bank behind a log or a big rock to try and get out of the fast water because they use too much energy to just hold it. If they can't hold because the flood's too big, they drop way back downstream.
Okay.
Right? And they may take days and days to come back to work their way back upstream again.
So is there any limitations as to how many fishes, the freshwater fish that you can catch, for, especially for trouts?
Yes, there are. And there's 13 different fishing regions in New Zealand, fish and game regions, and each one has different rules. So you buy a license, a yearly license, which allows you to fish anywhere in New Zealand, but each region has different rules on number of trout and the size of the trout. You get a little booklet, and you must read that and know the rules. There are rangers out there, check, measure your fish and stuff like that, but it is the angler's responsibility to know the rules where you're fishing. If you get caught illegally, you get big fines, you can go to jail, and you certainly lose all your rods and reels and cars and everything. So okay, they take it very seriously. It's good.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, Colin, I'm just wondering about crayfish. Some time ago, I remember seeing a program where they show you that crayfish are also found in streams.
Freshwater crayfish called koura, correct?
Yeah.
And trout eat those.
Yes. So are they still around? Or
yes, I'm not sure about the sea crayfish in the salt water.
Yeah.
I don't know if the catch has decreased for that. Freshwater crayfish, as far as I know, are just still abundant and they're a major source of trout food.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about crabs? Are they found in specific regions in New Zealand or is it throughout the coast?
Crabs are all around the coast.
All around.
Yeah, and snapper and eat crabs and so they crunch the shells up and eat. Yes. They're everywhere, as far as I know. Yes. We're lucky we've got relatively clean water right throughout New Zealand. Yeah, beautiful. We're very lucky.
But is it clean? Because there's so much noise that was made during the election time that our waters are not clean, not fit for swimming.
They were mainly talking, I think, Richard, about rivers and the runoff from dairy farms.
Oh, okay.
Dairy farms create a lot of effluent. You're hosing out the milking shed.
Oh, okay.
They've got to go into holding tanks, but it eventually leaches into rivers. So that's mainly rivers. Some rivers are, yes, very dirty, are polluted. Much worse than they were 20 years ago.
Colin, does the size of the bait matter?
Saltwater fishing or freshwater fishing?
Both.
Particularly in freshwater, yes, it is. You can catch very big fish on tiny little flies, only about a centimetre long.
Oh.
But it depends what the fish are eating, because you want to imitate what the fish are eating. We go back to you've got to think like a fish. What's in the river? How deep is the river? Am I feeding at the bottom or off the surface? So if I'm feeding off the surface, I want a fly that floats. To imitate what the fish, you'll see a trout come up and they go like that.
Yeah.
So you want a fly that floats. If they're feeding on the bottom, you need a lot more weight to get down to where the fish are. So your size is important and weight is important. Match what the fish are eating, if you can.
So they can be choosier.
Yes, they can. Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
They might want green today, but you've only got brown.
Just like when you go dating, boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Size of your pocket.
Yeah.
But is it based on the species? What species is found at what depth?
No, if you're talking trout, they will go where the food is. If all the food's on the bottom of the river, they'll tend to be at the bottom. If there's a hatch, and by that I mean nymphs are rising to the surface to break open the shell and then fly off, you'll see the trout feeding off the surface. They'll all be at the surface like that. So you need to match what the trout are doing.
No, but suppose we go snapper fishing.
Okay.
And then, you're not too sure about whether the fish are there or not. What would be the depth at which you let your hook go down to?
or if you're snapper fishing, you need to be on the bottom because they don't feed at the surface or very, very rarely.
Okay.
So you need to work out how deep the water is and have sufficient weight to get to the bottom. If you don't have enough weight, and my boat is here,
yeah,
the current's flowing to your right,
right,
the bait will end up, the lure will end up here. You've got to be on the bottom.
Okay.
But if you're chasing karawai, kingfish, they tend to fish to feed nearer the surface, and you'll sometimes see them on the surface.
Okay.
So you don't need so much weight. You just need to get it in front of them and attract them. But snapper, you've got to be on the bottom.
Okay.
All right. No good being halfway.
Yeah.
Very few snapper halfway. So if it's 20 meters deep, you've got to be 20 meters down.
Does prawns, for the prawns, do you have a different kind of a bait?
For the what, sorry?
Prawns. Prawn fishing.
Prawn. I haven't been prawn fishing. I don't know, sorry.
No.
There's a place at Taupo where you can go, but I haven't done that.
Okay.
Yeah. I was there recently and then probably ended up there for an hour and I just managed to catch one. But it was, probably didn't give up. But I only noticed that once the sun started to set, that's when they started coming up and then you could actually see the prawns and then you can actually just lower down your hook and they were just coming in easily during that time.
Okay.
But right road when there was probably hot sun, you couldn't even see them. But as the sun started to slowly set in, that's the time I probably ended up reeling about two.
Yeah, I think that's the same for all fish. The prime feeding times, as we said before, are sunrise, sunset.
Okay. So, Godfrey, you have been doing a lot of fishing, as we heard in the initial discussions before we started the program. So, where have you been going around to fish and what have you been fishing about?
I've been to Australia. Of course, we've been to
Snail Beach. Yeah.
Okay. And of course, that we were to do the whole night fishing, and we left at about 5 or 6 in the evening, and we were supposed to come next day morning, but we got so much of them that we returned back by about 10, 11. We were back home.
Excellent.
And each one had about a dozen of fish. We got kawaii. We got
snappers.
Snappers.
Gurnets.
We got gurnets.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much.
Well done.
Yeah.
Was that recently or?
It was about nearly more than 5 years back.
Okay.
And mind you, I didn't take a rod. I had just a reel in my hand. And all I did was, there was a reel in hand with a line with about 3 or 4 hooks.
Yes.
And at a time, I would catch 3 or 4 at one time.
Excellent.
It was so good.
Well done.
I was lucky, I think so.
So how have you progressed, Godfrey? Have you gone about on a regular trip like how Colin does
on a regular basis?
Or is it like, come on, we got nothing to do, wife has given some extra job, let's run off?
Yeah, you can say so.
I think there are a lot of charters nowadays that offer good deals, so you don't have to really take your rods and things like that. They just provide you with, you know, all the gear. So all you need to do is just decide on a suitable day when you see the sun shining bright and just
you can just walk onto the boat and everything's provided.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Provided.
Yeah. It's easy.
That's what we did.
So now we just find an excuse to run away from the wife.
Well, that's up to you, Father.
Is she listening in today, Godfrey?
She may be.
You made arrangements for your dinner tonight?
I better go fishing.
Okay. So let's listen to a song as we take this break.
Por um tati, a velhice de ilitaca. Por ela foi
You're listening to Sushega Dhanpar, and we are in discussion with Colin, Godfrey, Jocelyn, and Ferdinand all about fishing.
So my question to you, Colin, is just for the listeners who are now listening, who have actually tuned in to us, I just wanted to know, is there the rules have changed because it's been quite a few years now since I've actually gone for deep fishing. Do you have certain amount of snappers that you could catch, certain amount of kingfish that you could catch, gurnards?
Yes. As we said before with freshwater, it is the angler's responsibility to know the rules. And there is a minimum size on snapper, which is 30 centimetres from the nose to the V of the tail. And you're only allowed 7 of them. That's per person. Kingfish, they've got to be bigger than, I think, 75 centimetres long before you're allowed to keep them. Everything under that has to be released. And there's all sorts of rules on different species. So you need to have a book in the boat or on a measuring sticker. The stickers there where you measure fish, it's got all the quotas, the sizes, the minimum size and the numbers that you're allowed. People do check at the boat ramps. You come into Half Moon Bay, there'll be people there measuring your fish. Very serious fines if you've got illegal fish, which is great. It should be police.
Yes.
But it is the angler's responsibility to know the rules. Yes, there are. Now, different coasts. You go on the west coast of Auckland, Manukau Harbour, different rules. So you've got to know.
So depending on which harbour you're going for fishing.
Different parts of New Zealand have different rules.
So the Gulf Harbour would be different altogether?
Yes. The Gulf Harbour from about East Cape, it's called Snapper 1, to Cape Reina.
Okay.
That whole region has one set of rules. Other parts of the country have different rules.
Okay.
So wherever you're fishing, you need to know the rules. People do check. They have rangers at the boat ramps.
So So you have these marine officers who are actually driving in.
Yes. When you come out, they climb in your boat. They lift up all the floorboards.
They check everything.
They check everything. How many you've got?
Yeah.
Are they the bigger than the minimum size?
Okay.
Now, talking about that, it's a very good point.
Yeah.
I've seen people caught out.
Yeah.
Because they measure a fish 31 centimetres at 9 in the morning. They get back to the boat ramp 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
The fish isn't 31 centimetres anymore.
Oh, it shrinks a bit, is it?
It might be 29.5.
Oh, okay.
It's an illegal fish. So you've got to take that into account. So when you go fishing on my boat, if it's under 35, we let them go.
Okay.
We don't keep ones that are just legal.
Just to be on the safer side.
Just to be on the safe side.
Okay.
And let the little ones go so they grow up to be bigger ones.
Okay, but what happens with the people who go torpedo fishing? You know, they have 25 hooks at a time.
Yes, I know.
And by the time you get the torpedo back, probably all the fish are undersized and they are dead.
Well, you're not allowed to do that. I don't know what the rules are on that.
Ah, okay.
Because you're not allowed to catch more than 7.
Yeah.
All right? Kill more than 7, and they've got to be more than 30 centimetres.
Yeah.
So what's the rule? The rule is you have to catch 7 fish, is it? Not more than
you're
7.
You're allowed to keep 7 snapper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And not more than that.
Yes.
Or you can
can catch as many as you like, but you've got to release them.
Okay, so you can have one snapper and you can have one gurnard.
Trevelyan,
all that.
Yes.
7 in number.
No. 7 snapper.
Seven
snapper, but trevally may be different number.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you're allowed to bring home 7 snapper, provided they are more than 30 centimetres long.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've got to know the rules.
And then kingfish also is, I think, for different size.
Because if it's got to be longer than 75 centimetres.
Oh,
if it's under that, you have to release them. Alive.
So it's surprising that we have such a huge coast and such a huge reservoir of fish that people can catch.
Yes.
But in the market, fish is expensive.
Correct.
Why?
I think the reason is the commercial catch is mainly exported. Right? So we have to pay the same price as it might reach in a market in Sydney or London. It's like our butter. Our butter's $6 a little pack.
Yeah.
That's because it's going for huge prices in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So the domestic consumer, us, I think has to pay the same prices.
Oh, okay.
Colin, one question. So many years you've been doing this fishing, have you noticed some different kind of a fish coming in or some which you've seen as no more seen now for so many years? New species?
Not new species. I would like some new species. people moan about global warming.
Yeah.
But what that does is raise the sea temperature, which brings in different types of fish.
Okay.
I would like to see different types of fish in our harbour, but then the cost is global warming.
Yeah.
So our fish populations are pretty much the same. We haven't got new species arriving, no.
Yeah.
If the water got really warm, we would see more tropical fish come down as far as New Zealand.
Yeah. Does New Zealand have any introduced species?
In freshwater they do, because trout, brown and rainbow trout, are an introduced species.
Oh, so we've never had indigenous species here of trout?
No. Brown trout and rainbow trout. In fact, the 10th of October, only 4 days ago, was the 150th anniversary of trout being released in New Zealand.
Okay.
So they are an introduced species.
It's like how you have deer and pig that were released in the in the wild.
Yes, and ferrets and stoats were introduced. It was an absolute disaster. Someone brought gorse in from Scotland, thinking to be a nice fence. You know, so yes, there has been some introduced species.
Yeah, there should be
still cleaning up gorse.
Yes,
yeah. Still cleaning up those yellow flowers.
That's right.
There are many visitors think that's a nice design, but then you tell that that's
it's just a pest. Yes.
So, Colin, is there any specific place that you could recommend in Auckland, which is the best and kind of a recommended spot
to catch snapper?
Have a good catch.
Yeah, okay.
But as he said, you know, you can't catch all types of fish in one place. You have to go to different places.
You go different places, but the beauty of Auckland is with the Waitemata Harbour, there's heaps of islands, Motuhi, Motutapu, Rangitoto, Waiheke.
Yeah.
You can always get out of the wind and get some shelter. Wind's blowing from the south, go around the northern side of Waiheke. Right, you can get shelter. And it's all really close. From Half Moon Bay to Waiheke Island, takes 15 minutes in a boat. It's really close.
Okay.
So it's cheap, and there's a huge amount of water, and there's fish. You just got to find them, because they won't necessarily be where they were last Saturday.
You know, my friend has just sent a text saying that, you know, he doesn't like this boat ride.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him feel a bit dizzy and
seasick.
So he's saying, is there a spot where I can go with my bucket and bait and cap and just sit down there?
Yes, there is. If you want to catch squid, for instance, all you have to do is go to Tamaki Drive along the waterfront.
Oh, okay.
At night time, under the street lights, squid will come in and catch. You don't even get your feet wet.
Any other places?
Anywhere around the rocky shores and off any wharf.
Okay.
Yeah. So anywhere there's a coast with rocks, throw a line out. You don't have to get your feet wet.
Okay.
Cheapest chips.
As you said, Colin, the best way to communicate with the fish is drop a line.
That's right.
Fish line.
Colin, do you take people around fishing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And how do we get in touch with you or whatever?
I've got a program on this very radio station, and people get hold of me through Rod and Reel, the tackle store in Newmarket.
Okay.
I sometimes work in there.
How many people do you take at a time?
On my boat, just generally another two people, three at the most.
Yeah.
Colin, could you share something about your program, which is called Fly Fishing, which you broadcast every Friday at 6 o'clock in the evening?
That's correct. Every Friday night at 6 p.m., a radio show called Hooked on Fly Fishing. Been running for about 10 years, and the format of the show is we do a weather update, and then I talk to people in different parts of New Zealand, like where are the fish, what are they eating, what colour do they want, what's the weather like in your region, and if I was going fishing tomorrow, where would I go? So I talk to local people who have got knowledge about their particular areas, because it's all very well to sit in Auckland, but I don't know what the weather's doing at the top of the South Island. So we ring someone, talk to local people. And when you go fishing in Rotorua, go to a local store and say, where are the fish? You go down the harbour, talk to someone down the harbour. Where did you go yesterday? What did you use? Just ask questions all the time.
So on that note, Colin, I'll have to say we're running out of time. It was a very educative session. I think we'll have more of you maybe based on the feedback that we get. Thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you, Ferdy. Thank you, Godfrey, for joining us and quizzing Colin on this. You need to drop a proper line next time so you can get Colin hooked on. So on that note, we sign off with Boksuya, means forgive. We are in the season of what I would say Marian season, or the month of Mary, where we pray to Mother Our Mary. And she calls us to be forgiving as such. So let's sing a song. And
thank you,
let's
Richard.
Play the song. Thanks a lot, Colin.
Thank you. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Colin.
Thank you.
Sukliar taka kitiak bokshina, bodo yuki ke sapro.